It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is May 13th of 2022. Thanks for being here, however you are tuned in. That could be on 1650 AM or 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at the all-new 1650thefan.com. Just checking out something on Twitter here right before I got on the air. The Iowa State women's basketball team, well, at least four members of the Iowa State women's basketball team. I know Ashley Jones, Lexi Donarski are a couple of them, are playing in the USA Basketball 3-on-3 Nationals, and they got a win 21-13 over Tennessee. Just caught wind of this earlier today that they were doing that. Pretty cool stuff, though. Ashley Jones with a backdoor layup for the win. So we'll have to keep you up to date on how the Iowa State women, or at least the four of them competing in this event, wind up doing as they start off with a win over the Volunteers. So interesting stuff going on there. But, yeah, welcome in. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Like the Facebook page, just type in 102.3 1650 The Fan and hammer that like button. And make sure you bookmark that all new website. That's where you get the podcast of this show and all sorts of outstanding local and statewide sports content for your browsing pleasure. 1650thefan.com. Number to dial if you want to join in and add any questions or comments to the show today, 319-277-1918. Or you can dial 800-913-9479. Or you could email the show. We have the technology. Pass along any questions or comments. Maybe there's something or someone you'd like to hear on a future show. By all means, fire away. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. As always, we'll get it going here in just a few short moments with area sports news and scores on this Friday. After we're done there, we take timeout number one. That's when you get a CBS Sports Flash, find out what's going on the national sports scene. We also get you a VSiN Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas so you can know how to wisely wager your money over the weekend. We'll also get you a forecast from Megan Mulford for the rest of this pleasant Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. Then we'll come back, and in the second segment today, we continue our metro area baseball and softball previews as Waterloo Columbus softball coach Chris Olmstead will join the show and give us a preview of a Sailors team that's coming off a 28-10 2021 season that ended in the Class 2A regional semifinals. A really good Sailors team, lost three seniors and brings back a host of talent, including an outstanding now junior class. So Coach Olmstead will give us all the details and tell us about his Sailors team that I have a feeling they have as good of a shot of getting back to the state tournament as they have in some time here. It's going to be, I think, a really fun season for the Sailors. So Coach Olmstead will join us in the second segment today. After we're done learning about Waterloo Columbus softball, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports from Todd Kim, and then we'll come back on the other side of that break, and it's the talk of the town, the NFL schedule release. I heard Mark Simpson this morning between 6 and 8 on Maximum Mornings saying that he had gamed it out scientifically and his Vikings are going to go at least 16-1. I would imagine that the one loss he's alluding to is my Chicago Bears, who are by all means also going to go 16-1 this season. I can't believe I just said that with a straight face, but no, in all seriousness, I'd like to see my Bears go 500. If they don't, better draft pick. The mess that was left by Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, I like that the new front office, the new administration, they're under no grand illusions that it's going to be fixed in just one off season. So I think they've made some shrewd signings, and they could, you know, play a little better than what they look on paper. I think that's plenty possible. So it's wait and see, but some really good matchups, as you might imagine, that came out yesterday with the release of that NFL schedule. I got to say one thing, though. With the NFL going to Amazon Prime on Thursday night, it's like, man, that stuff's expensive. You know, I use Fubo, and anybody at Fubo headquarters listening, you know, call us up and advertise with us for the free pub I'm giving you right there, 319-277-1918. But, you know, this Fubo, they just raised my rate because of the regional sports networks that they carry. And, you know, I've hopped around. I have. I mean, I've ran the gamut. I remember when I first got one, I got Sling because that's what my brother had. And I thought that was miserable. It was awful. I don't think they'll advertise with us. And then had YouTube TV for a while. And it was good. You know, all of them just miss a few. There's always like somewhere between 2 and 6 channels that you don't have. And they differ, it seems like, from OTT to OTT. And then I got Hulu. Went back. I did a little back and forth between Hulu and YouTube TV. And I gotten Hulu right not too long before the pandemic began. Because Marquee Network, which the Cubs play on now, was going to be on Hulu. Well, and then the pandemic happened and there were no sports. And when it all came back, Marquee's deal with Hulu fell apart and they ended up on Fubo. But here's the axe to grind with Fubo. No TBS, no TNT. So, you know, I'm going to all sorts of establishments in the Cedar Valley during March Madness to watch games or going to buddies' places. So it's a hell of a racket. But just to hop around because I'm all over the place here to start. Talking about my Bears NFL schedule release, somehow parlaying that into talking about OTT networks, but. Cubs baseball back tonight. Talk about my Cubs. Cubs baseball back tonight on the Fan. And I read this from our friends at BleacherNation.com earlier today that guys that were either projected to be on the Cubs opening day roster or were on the opening day roster account for half of what would make up a Cubs roster right now. More than half, technically. 16 guys that fall under that umbrella are on the injured list right now for the Cubs. And somehow they were able to go get a series win in San Diego earlier this week. So hopefully they can continue with a productive West Coast swing here as pregame coverage from Arizona with Zach Zaidman on the Cubs radio network begins at 8:05 tonight with a first pitch at 8:40. So stay up late with the Cubs tonight here on the Fan. And to complete a trifecta of bouncing all over hell here to start a Friday edition of the show. A lot of talk today on our on our great shows, Dan Patrick, Jim Rome, Rich Eisen, about the Sixers choking last night against the Miami Heat, and James Harden taking only two more shots. I thought Rich Eisen had a good one where he said James Harden only took two more shots than Ben Simmons took, you know. And that's the thing. Ben Simmons didn't want to shoot last year in the playoffs. He's had all the, you know, the injuries, mental and physical, and they move on for him. They get James Harden, and then the dude took his last shot of the game in the second quarter last night. And I'm not going to talk too long about it, but kind of the angle I'm playing on it here to make it less about the NBA and just more about sports, because I know the NBA is not a big, you know, I make the joke all the time. I'm one of 19 NBA fans in the state of Iowa. But the thing with James Harden, he just looks so washed. And he was in the same draft class as Steph Curry. And he just looks washed compared to 2 years ago. And I think he's at the point where I think he's 32, 33. Like, dude, I'm not a highly tuned athlete, but you don't necessarily look like one either. You can't have your diet you had at 25 and be in great shape. And it's one of those things where you think about this, and there's been dudes that have done this, whether it's drink or eat or drug themselves out of professional sports. And it's just mind-boggling. I mean, it's one thing, you know, some of these guys, they grew up in, obviously, you know, dire situations and were around alcohol and drugs. And, you know, some of that is, in a sense, out of their hands, or they got to make sure they address it the right way. But it seems to me like James Harden's probably just like his nutrition is, or lack thereof, is going to cost him millions of dollars. And I just cannot wrap my head around that. Like Rich Eisen, I thought he made a great point where he's like, if somebody told you at your job that if you had to lose X amount of pounds, get in, you know, the best shape you've been in a decade or 5 years or whatever, and then you would get the biggest raise you've ever gotten in your career, would you do it? Rhetorical question, right? So just it just fascinates me, the whole James Harden thing. And I love how Jim Rome calls him James Larden. It's absolutely hilarious. But there you go. Just all over the place, a potpourri monologue there for you. And now let's bring some order to the show. Area sports news and scores. Today in high school soccer involving teams in the Metro and boys soccer, Cedar Falls hosting Dubuque Wallert, Waterloo West hosting Dubuque Hempstead at Memorial Stadium, and Waterloo East entertains Dubuque Senior at the Cedar Valley Soccer Complex. In girls soccer, Cedar Falls travels to Dubuque Wallert, Waterloo United plays at Dubuque Senior, and Columbus is at Applington Parkersburg. The Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union has released new soccer rankings. Area schools in the polls include in Class 3A, Cedar Falls, sticking at number 13. In 2A, Independence is once again number 14. And Waverly-Shell Rock is up two spots to number 3. In 1A, Dyke New Hartford stays third. Denver goes from 14 to 11. Hudson drops from 7 to 12. And Columbus is up two spots to number 13. Waverly-Shell Rock Athletic Director Greg Bodensteiner confirmed that Waverly-Shell Rock's school board has voted to apply for membership to the Mississippi Valley Conference. The Gohawks are looking for a new conference after recently being voted out of the Northeast Iowa Conference. Next year will be WSR's final year in the NEIC, and then they'll be looking for a new home in the 2023-24 school year. If accepted by the MVC, Waverly-Shell Rock would be the smallest public school in the conference and the third smallest school overall ahead of Cedar Rapids, Xavier, and Dubuque Wallert. Well, yesterday, Iowa State softball rallied to beat Baylor 2-1 in 8 innings in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 softball tournament in Oklahoma City. Today, against top-ranked Oklahoma, the Cyclones come up short 5-0 and finish their season with a 28-27 record. St. Bonaventure Center and two-time A-10 Defensive Player of the Year, Oshun Oshunier, has announced he'll join Iowa State as a graduate transfer next season. He's 6'10", 220 pounds, from New Jersey, and he made the announcement on his Instagram. Oshunier is one of the best rim protectors from the A-10, in its long history, ranks 8th all-time in career blocks with 304 and 7th in career blocks per game at 2.7. He was named to the A-10 All-Defensive Team all 4 seasons with the Bonnies while earning Defensive Player of the Year the past 2 years. He averaged 11 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 2.9 blocks in nearly 31 minutes per game this past season. The Iowa State track team is competing in the Big 12 conference meet this weekend in Lubbock, Texas. Action began earlier today, goes through Sunday. The Iowa State men's team has finished second at the event the past 2 years. And the UNI softball team is moving on to the championship game of the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. The Panthers rolled past Drake 9-1 today in the semifinals in Springfield, Missouri. Top-seeded UNI exploded for 8 runs in the bottom of the first inning. Madison Parks belted a 3-run homer to jumpstart the Panthers. UNI will play in the MVC title game tomorrow afternoon against Missouri State. It's at 1:30. And, of course, the winner gets the automatic bid to an NCAA regional. The UNI track teams are at the Missouri Valley Conference Outdoor Championships this weekend in Des Moines. The UNI men's team is looking to win its 4th consecutive title. Indiana State is the pre-meet favorite to win both the men's and women's competition. UNI is picked to finish 3rd in the men's and 5th in the women's. The meet takes place at Drake Stadium and goes today through Sunday. The Iowa baseball team is on the road for a 3-game weekend series at Michigan State beginning today. This evening's opener begins in just a little while. First pitch at 5:35. Iowa is 12-6 in the Big Ten, sitting in a tie for 3rd place. The Hawkeyes have won 12 of their last 16. The Wartburg softball team opened up NCAA Division III tournament play today. The Knights took on Illinois Wesleyan in an opening round contest. It began this afternoon at 2 in St. Joseph, Minnesota, and they got a 5-2 victory. It's a double elimination regional along with St. Benedict and Nebraska Wesleyan, and the Knights are awaiting their opponent that they will play tomorrow at noon. They received the automatic qualifier after winning the ARC tournament last weekend. And the Wartburg baseball team split a pair of games yesterday at the American Rivers Conference tournament in Cedar Rapids. The 6-seeded Knights pounded out 16 hits, rolled past 3-seed Nebraska Wesleyan 13-2 in their first game. 2nd-seeded Loris then outslugged Wartburg 13-10 in the Knights' 2nd contest of the day. With the loss, all games are now win or go home for the Knights. The Knights continue to play this afternoon. They got underway at 4 o'clock. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way on the other side. We continue our metro area baseball and softball previews. Waterloo Columbus softball coach Chris Olmstead next on a Friday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Louisiana native Jarvis Landry is headed home, coming to terms with the Saints on a 1-year deal. The 5-time Pro Bowler couldn't work out a restructured deal with the Browns and was released in March. The Golden State Warriors, 1 win away from their 6th appearance in the conference finals in 8 years, and host the Grizzlies holding a 3-2 series lead. However, they squandered an opportunity to move on, getting crushed on Wednesday, losing by 39. Klay Thompson said, "They just have to shrug it off.
Sometimes basketball is an exact science, and we play like a shell of ourselves. So, like I said before, we'll watch film, make necessary adjustments, and you'll see a totally different effort on Friday."
Steve Kerr is doubtful to coach tonight after missing the last 2 games following a positive COVID test. The Bucks host the Celtics in the first game, holding a 3-2 series lead. The two teams have alternated wins and losses through the first 5. Sixers GM Daryl Morey said Doc Rivers will return as the team's head coach next year, but it'll be a while for Danny Green. The Athletic reports he suffered a torn ACL. Defending champ Phil Mickelson has withdrawn from next week's PGA Championship, the 2nd major he'll miss this year. I'm Rich Ackerman.
The Sixers shouldn't bring back James Harden, but will Daryl Morey cut ties with his best friend? Catch the Zach Gelb Show later, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
CBS Sports Radio.
Get maximum summer sports right here on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
It's time for Unfolding Futures. Here's Akwi Enji.
At Waterloo Schools, our graduates are workforce ready and college ready. Thanks to our unique approach to helping students identify early on what their strengths, interests, and passions are, we're committed to ensuring our Waterloo School students graduate with a diploma and a plan. We'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate several of our graduates. East High's Alonzia Quinn for being named KWWL's Best of Class, recognized by Des Moines Register's Academic Allstate, and for the Governor's Scholar Award. Also at East is Nathan Sothard for the Governor's Scholar Award. And then at West, we've got Jordan Wallachan named KWWL's Best of Class, as well as receiving the Governor's Scholar Award, and Jade Domitop, recognized by Des Moines Register's Academic Allstate. Congratulations to these outstanding seniors. At Waterloo Schools, we're growing champions from kindergarten to college and beyond. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org.
CFCCU, your local community credit union, is proud to support the Cedar Falls Tigers. CFCCU believes investing in our schools builds brighter futures for area students and their families. CFCCU was established in Cedar Falls in 1958 and continues to invest in our community. Build your future with CFCCU. Good luck, Tigers.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Game 6 tonight in Milwaukee between the Celtics and Bucks. Boston down 3-2 and a 1.5-point underdog, 2-11 the total. In the West semifinals, the Warriors up 3-2 over the Grizzlies. Golden State an 8.5-point favorite in Game 6, 217.5 the set total. College football season waiting on the other side of the summer. Iowa currently 20,000-1 odds for a national championship. Iowa State at +25,000. Baseball: Cubs and Diamondbacks. Drew Smyly getting the start for Chicago against Zach Davies. The Cubs -105 money line. Diamondbacks a slight favorite, -115. The over under 8.5. White Sox +137 at home against the Yankees, 7.5 total.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows level off around 57 tonight under mainly cloudy skies, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs around 83 tomorrow. Lows level off around 54 tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Turning much cooler Sunday and Monday with highs from the upper 60s to the low 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Sunday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 78.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert on your home for Cubs baseball, 1650 The Fan and 102.3 FM.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of Cole and Company, and as has been the theme this week, we began previewing metro area baseball and softball teams. And baseball going to begin next week, softball the week after. And today on the show, we're pleased to be joined by Waterloo Columbus Catholic softball coach Chris Olmstead. Sailors 28-10 overall, if my math's right. And regional semifinalists last season. A lot of good talent coming back on this roster. And Coach Olmstead, thanks so much for your time today. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Cole. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, great to be talking to you again. First things first. You got a handful of practices under your belt. What have you seen from your team so far?
They're good. I like our team chemistry this year. Truth be told, we've had some meetings with the upperclassmen, and the upperclassmen for us are a group of real good juniors. We don't have one senior on the roster, so that's why I put it that way. But we had some team goal setting things that were done prior to the season, and it's come to fruition that they're practicing that way so far this year and trying to meet some of those goals, and it's been going well. Going slow. Well, you always take it a little slow, a lot of refresher stuff first week for sure, if not the first week and a half, and then we get into a little bit more of the heavy aspect of the game. So, yeah, it's been going well.
Can you recall having a roster without any seniors on it?
I can. I actually had one, it must have been, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, and, you know, with the state of softball and baseball being a summer sport, it's just the nature of the beast sometimes. You know, you lose those seniors, and so you know what? You coach what you got, and that's what I have, and I've got a good group of girls.
What are you finding out about this team, and what might make them different from a really good team that you had last season?
Yeah, we had a really good season last season. I think for us, it's going to be a maturity level thing. I mean, a core group of sophomores. We had three good seniors on the roster last year that had significant, they were starters, significant playing time, and we're going to miss them. But for this group that's juniors now entering into this season, it's a maturity type of thing. I just want them to grow in some of the mindset of how to play the game, taking less pressure off themselves and maybe others. And I saw it a little bit last year that I didn't, you know, necessarily think it was a bad thing, but I didn't think it was fully healthy either with the pressure they put on themselves. So we talked about that, and you know, you see it in their eyes sometimes and in their mannerisms. And so I'm just hoping that they grow and mature a little bit. And even on that front, I need myself to grow and mature in that regard, because, you know, I you try to coach, obviously, to every girl on the team, and that means you got to coach to a multitude of different personalities to make sure that you coach them up and coach them the right way. And it can be really difficult at times, and I'll be the first to tell you, I probably learned some lessons last year that I needed to do better, and so I'm taking that approach as well.
You know, and hearing you describe your team, and, you know, it just seems like Coach Olmstead, that from everything I recall from last season, what you return, a lot of physical talent. It's just a matter of, you know, really digging in and sharpening up mentally, not to say that your team doesn't have mental fortitude, you know, to be an accomplished group and reach your goals. But it's kind of one of those things where it's just only going to grow with time and games played, which I think for you probably makes a night-by-night, game-by-game scenario where you go, you know, is it time to put my arm around someone? Is it time to maybe, you know, raise the volume of my voice? Or is it time to maybe just sit back and let them figure it out for themselves?
The answer is all three.
Yeah.
And that's the difficulty in trying to figure that out each and every night, again, with each girl. And I'm not looking for sympathy here, but it's, I mean, for people that are listening out there that coach at the high school level or at any level,
yeah,
I'm just telling you, parents, fans, it's a tough job. And because you want everybody to be happy.
Yep.
That's a fact. You want everybody to be happy. And so another thing we talked about, we got a banner in our dugout this year. I stole it from Patrick Murphy, who's the head softball coach at the University of Alabama, just a legend, you know.
Yep.
But he always talked about with his teams having Mudita, M-U-D-I-T-A. And so we got a banner about that, and Mudita is basically being happy for other people's accomplishments, you know, and not turn it into necessarily a competition and things like that. So the fact that, you know, they're really, you know, I've seen that this year in the week and a half of practice already, and that's kind of been our approach and at the top of our list. All the other stuff that comes along with softball is going to be fine, as long as you play relaxed and cool, calm, and confident. That we have always talked about that as, I want my Columbus team to be that way, no matter the situation. Cool, calm, confident.
And at the end of the day, too, we're playing softball. So maybe from time to time, it's just a reminder of, hey, this is supposed to be fun. I mean, just remember to have fun and not put too much pressure on yourself.
It's 100% true. And that's part of me now. I'm a pretty intense guy. And I mean, everybody likes winning. And I'm a pretty anal guy in regards to how I like to do things and how I like my team's performance. Situations, but you know, that gets back to me about being a lesson. Maybe I got to be the one that relaxes a little bit more, and I understand that. Hopefully, at the ripe old age of 55, but and you know what? And it couldn't be any more pronounced just to this having fun aspect anymore than what you see happening in college sports today with the mental illness and the mental pressures that athletes put on themselves. So, I just wish people would really take pause. Overall, no matter what the sport, no matter what the gender, whatever it is, that they need to take those things into account.
Absolutely. Waterloo Columbus Catholic softball coach Chris Olmstead our guest right now on a Friday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, getting into the physical side of softball, as we've touched on here, you bring a lot of talented players back. But what do you think ultimately will be the blueprint for this Sailor team to play their best softball? What do you think this team will hang its hat on when it's playing, you know, top-shelf softball?
Sure. So we had a really good offensive team last year. And, you know, I mean, we finished in basically the top 10 in Class 2A and batting average and slugging percentage, total bases, total hits. So as far as the offense goes, I'm hopeful and pleased with what happened last year, and hopeful that those types of numbers happen this year again without putting the pressure on themselves. So I think we're going to score runs still. The composition of the team is going to be a little bit different. As far as that offense goes, I think we're going to be performing really, really well. And you know what? We got, with our pitching staff, we go four deep, and it's anchored by Haley Frost. And, and you know what? Haley had, was top 8 in wins last year and was top of Class 2A in innings pitched as well. She finished with, I think, 121 Ks it was and 21 wins. I mean, that's stellar performance. And so, but I'd like to have her have some more help with depth of the pitching staff. I'd like to get more girls in the circle to alleviate some of that off of Haley, because I think it would help our overall team in general as we go out through the course of the summer.
If memory serves me right, talking about Haley last season, not necessarily going to overpower anybody and have, you know, massive strikeout numbers, but she's a true pitcher in the sense of the word, and that just kind of fascinates me even more with her sharpening and developing her skill set by nature of just how she goes about her business. So what can you tell me, Coach Olmstead, about Haley's, you know, improvement, her development headed into this season?
Sure. So, again, she's definitely obviously going to mature. She's getting stronger. She's probably picked up about 5 miles an hour on her fastball just from last year alone. So, I mean, that's a huge leap, and that's a big difference. Mm-hmm. And her rise ball is starting to be much more pronounced than what it was last year as well, and a couple of her other off-speed pitches. So we know that Haley's always going to be around the plate, which is always going to give us a chance. And as long as we play some good, solid defense, that we're going to be in games because we feel we're going to score runs too. But with Haley, it's the improvement in the rise ball, and then that added velocity that she picked up with her fastball.
Tell me about the depth that you're trying to cultivate there in that pitching staff. Makes me think of conversations I've had this spring with you and I, Coach Ryan Jacobs. They've obviously been great the past few seasons, but what's really stuck out about this Panthers team is their ability to go into their pitching staff and hardly have any drop-off at all.
Yes, yep, and that's what I'm looking for. I mean, we've got Ella Smith that's going to come into her own, I believe, this year as well, not only in the pitching circle, but obviously in other positions on the field. Avery Hogan helped us out in the circle last year along with Ella. And then Micah Bromley, who's a freshman for us right now, I feel is going to be able to give us some innings, along with another sophomore in Abby Weber. So we've got girls that, and all of them are pretty consistent with throwing strikes. I mean, it's not like it's going to drop off. It's going to give us an advantage, I think, because it's going to allow us an opportunity to show teams some different looks, maybe even throughout the course of a game, not just from one game to the next. So, and force them to make adjustments. And so that's what I'm looking forward to as well, is trying to manage that pitching staff to the benefit of all.
You bring up Avery Hogan. What's it been like watching what Taylor's done as a Panther so far, Coach Olmstead?
It's just, you know what, when you get an alum like that, it's just performing at those high standards, which is what Taylor always does, you know, is it just makes you proud.
Yeah.
It makes you proud to know that you've coached that young lady, and it makes you proud that, you know, she was part of a Sailor program that, did some good things, obviously, and then continues to show some of those good things at the collegiate level. And the fact that it's right here locally, it's just icing on the cake.
Circling back to your offense, you mentioned that being the strength of the team, and you look at a couple of those juniors that certainly, by nature of not having any seniors, will be part of your leadership group, starting with Sydney Gardner. What an incredible season for her, 450 batting average, .550 on base, 12 home runs, nearly 60 RBI. The counting stats are incredible, and it just makes me think, Coach, obviously she's going to be one who's working on her game, but you can't let a slow start, you know, overcome a player like that, or if your counting stats aren't where they are 3 weeks into the season or like where you thought they would be. It's almost one of them deals where it's like maybe just keeping things simple for someone as naturally talented as Sydney is the way to go. I'm just going to be fascinated to see how her season goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just Sydney, though, Cole. It's,
yeah.
She's going to have, and I don't mean that in the fact that we're just relying on her to produce these offensive numbers for us, because we got lots of girls that have done it already. Cam Reginald's another gal that provides speed for us, and she's fantastic at making sure she hits gaps with her balls, and it just does a really good job. Katie Rudin's another power hitter for us. So I'm going to get back to what I originally started with. It's getting those girls, okay, to realize that, you know, has to be all on one person. It just can't be. It can't be. There's going to be times where a team's going to pitch around somebody.
Yeah.
And they've got to know how to handle that, and I've talked to them about that a little bit. They can't get frustrated with that. And that's where their teammate goes, okay, you want to pitch around, you know, who just hit in front of me, you're going to pay for it. And that's, you know, it's just that drive and that energy that this is a good thing, you know, that we got to process it appropriately.
Season opener a week from Monday against Cedar Falls, if I'm not mistaken. You going to play any scrimmages before then against someone, or is it all inter-squad? What do you got planned?
It's all inter-squad. It's not that I'm opposed to scrimmaging. I just haven't done it very often or at all. But I think that we can inter-squad scrimmage and work on the things that we need to work on just through a split-squad situation, too. So it works out. It's always worked out well for us. But we have a grueling first week, and they already know about that as well. I mean, we open up, as you said, with Cedar Falls, a really, really good ball team. And then we move on to Hudson, who won the conference last year, and is a fantastic ball club. Dyke New Hartford is in that first week for us, an improved program. I mean, it's rough. So we're going to get a litmus test right away the first week, and we're just going to, again, we are playing through everything no matter what happens. You obviously want to win, but that first week isn't going to be a definition on what type of team we have going forward through the whole year, because you have to be consistent, level-headed.
Who did you upset in the scheduling office, Coach Olmstead?
Oh, no, I like it that way. I wish we could have got a couple more people on the schedule. I mean, we got back in for some clerical error last year. We did not end up going to the Fort Dodge tournament, so we're back in the Fort Dodge tournament, which is, I think, the most premier tournament in the state. And it gets them a chance to play at Harlan and Rogers and get that feel, and playing the likes of the Cedar Rapids Kennedy or the Fort Dodge Dodgers, and it's fantastic. It's good for you as long as we process it appropriately.
Coach Olmstead, thanks so much for the time. Always a pleasure to learn about your team, and cannot wait to, you know, see how the season unfolds. And, we haven't really put this out there too much, but we're putting together a little modest schedule of games that we're going to broadcast this summer here on The Fan, regular season games of Columbus baseball and softball. I don't know if maybe Nick Pateros has tipped you off to that or not, but we're really looking forward to bringing that to our audience.
That would be great. Anytime you show up at our home diamond, just know you're going to have a hot dog or a hamburger and popcorn and a pop for you.
That sounds great. That sounds great. I'm there all the time for sure. Coach, thanks so much. Take care. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you, Cole. God bless.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Three Iowa Cub pitchers combined on a four-hitter as the iCubs made it three in a row over Omaha this afternoon in Des Moines with a 5-0 win. It was Iowa's first shutout of the season. With an RPI in the mid-60s, the Iowa Hawkeye baseball team has some work to do to boost its NCAA at-large hopes heading into Friday night's start of a Big Ten series at Michigan State. The Hawkeyes are tied for third in the league race with a record of 12-6.
I don't believe that.
And they're coming off the end of exam week.
You know, I've done this 35 years, and every team that I've coached handled it a little bit differently. Some are a little sluggish, some are loose and excited to be done with school. You just really don't know until you get out there and play.
That's Iowa coach Rick Heller at the Big 12 softball tournament in Oklahoma City. Casey Simpson sacrificed fly in the bottom of the eighth, drove in the game winner as Iowa State edged Baylor 2-1 in the opening round. The Cyclones play top-seeded Oklahoma in Friday's semifinals. This is Radio Iowa.
Why? Just think about it. Why is the number one selling brand of chainsaws not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot? We can give you over 10,000 reasons. That's how many authorized local steel dealers you can find across the country. Visit one and you'll find a range of dependable gas and battery-powered tools, from trimmers to blowers. And you'll find service from experienced professionals. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
Just three words tell you everything you need to know. They tell you why we employ more than 2,000 workers at our factory in Virginia Beach, and why over 10,000 local steel dealers are putting battery power in the hands of Americans. Just three words. Made in America. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. The majority of steel products sold in America are made in America of U.S. and foreign materials. Batteries and chargers are sourced internationally.
Want to keep your AC from conking out? At your local 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, we recommend an AC tune-up, ASAP. It can help pinpoint potential problems and even extend the life of your air conditioning system. How's that for a comforting thought? Right now, get cool savings on an AC tune-up. Call 319-287-9200.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-Hour.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
A lot of ways to listen to the show, however you do it. Thank you so much. The NFL schedule dropped last night, or really it dropped throughout the day, all sorts of leaks. It kind of makes for an interesting dynamic there with all of it. So Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins us now. And Logan, your Bills, man, they're getting the shine. They get the week one season opener on Thursday night in Tinseltown against the Los Angeles Rams, the defending Super Bowl champs. I got to imagine you're a little excited about that.
I am. It's the preseason favorites to win the Super Bowl right now are the Bills and the Rams. So I like to get this game out of the way, and I'm ready for it. They start the season off with two primetime games because they play the Titans next on Monday Night Football and that doubleheader with the Vikings and Eagles game right after that. So it's an exciting time, and I just saw something like right before this started that the Bills aren't an underdog in a single game this year. That is something I never thought I'd say throughout my entire lifetime. When I watched J.P. Lossman and Kelly Holcomb try to battle it out for the starting job at quarterback, when I watched Trent Edwards get murdered behind a who's who of offensive linemen that were basically taken out of the CFL, like, it was never in my wildest dreams that I go, oh yeah, this team could be favored against every team they play when they're playing the Super Bowl champions. They're playing the Titans, Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs, Packers, Vikings, Browns, Patriots twice, and the Bengals are just winning the Super Bowl, and they're the favorites in every game. It's a nice reality in which I live in, and I certainly don't take it for granted.
Yeah, it's one hell of a glow up, and you gotta play the Jets twice too. And remember, after they had the best draft in the history of drafts,
exactly.
Did we not predict them to win the AFC East? I want to say last week or 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah. The Jets are the early dog, the early favorites in this division. I think the Bills have some things in their up their sleeve that could. They could uproot the Jets in a shocking division win this year. But the Jets have to be better than what they were last year.
Well, I'm glad.
They have to be.
They sure as hell better be. And, I wanted to ask you, because you're the resident Bills honk, and then they're favored in all these damn games. What are the two, three biggest reasons you think the Bills will make the Super Bowl this season? Because they were, there are plenty of people picking them last season. What's two or three reasons why you think it's different this year and they actually could make it?
I think that, Josh Allen's the main reason. Mm-hmm. It's the first time the Bills have actually had a quarterback since Jim Kelly that was worth anything. I love Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I won't say a lot of bad things about him, and they signed Drew Bledsoe when he was the highest paid player in the NFL, or traded for him from the Patriots when, the unfortunate event of Drew Bledsoe getting hurt against the Jets, we had to all welcome in Tom Brady, and you know how that went down. And I think, Josh, and after that Chiefs game, and just the playoffs last year in general, I think people stopped going on, like they were questioning on what Josh Allen is, and going, this dude can play. Now I'm seeing more of this dude's the best quarterback in the NFL conversation than I did last year. And he was coming off finishing second in the MVP voting the season prior. And then the defense is still really good. They improved the cornerback slot. I really liked Levi Wallace, but Kyrie Elam, first-round draft pick from Florida, is a way more athletic version of Levi Wallace, and Trey White coming off his ACL injury. They shored up the D-line, which is definitely something they needed to do. Got the only Super Bowl MVP they've ever had on their roster ever in Von Miller. It's just really exciting. They've improved the offensive line. And, yeah, the wide receiving core. Gabe Davis is coming off a 4-touchdown game against the Chiefs. The last game he played, he scored 4 touchdowns. So all these things. And then it's just all these people returning, the signings they've made. Josh Allen, Diggs is there. The running game should improve because the O-line got better. The defense is still elite. Like, I can see a reality, and I'm not trying to, like, big up the Bills or anything, but I could actually see a reality where they finish first in offense and defense
next
year.
They're just good. And if they stay healthy, they should be right there.
That's the key. Stay healthy. I have this irrational fear that Josh Allen's going to get hurt. Like last year, it was, man, I hope Josh gets COVID during the season so we don't risk it during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because there was like that 2-week absence he had to have. And it was like, thankfully he never had it, which is beautiful, but
thankfully now the NFL got rid of all of its COVID protocols, so don't have to worry about that going forward. You know, a few other games that stuck out to me: Packers at Buccaneers in week 3. That feels like a game that Aaron Rodgers will like play like crap in. He'll get killed for a week, and then the Packers will still end up winning like 12 games. Patriots at Raiders week 15. The rematch between the teacher and the student with Josh McDaniels. And then, of course, Bears-Packers week 2, Sunday Night Football. I'm praying we don't get embarrassed. But those are three that stuck out to me. I think, like, I don't know if I ever asked you, what did you think of McDaniels finally making the move? And then the move he makes is he goes to the Raiders.
So I'm not a massive fan of Josh McDaniels. And I have a friend from high school. He was our running back on our football team that massive Patriots fan. He's from Rhode Island, so he grew up a Patriots fan, unfortunately. But this past year has been really fun because he was over at our house for the playoff game when the Bills routed them by 30-something points. The greatest game I've ever watched in my life. But he wasn't a big fan of Josh McDaniels, and I think a lot of Patriots fans were kind of on the, I don't really like Josh McDaniels. He's kind of an a-hole, a D-bag, whatever you want to call him. And the Raiders, it just kind of came out of, it doesn't surprise me because he's that big name that Mark Davis is definitely looking for in head coaches. Is either going to be like him or Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Like someone that could bring in, like, we're going to pay this guy a ton of money. Like Gruden got, a 10-year, $100 million contract when he first signed from ESPN when he hadn't coached in 10 years. And McDaniels comes in, and I mean, they got a lot of talent. So I'm intrigued to see how it works out. But yeah, I hope, I don't like the Raiders either, so I do hope it crashes and burns.
Bills at Bengals week 17, that could have some serious implications on home and away and where things stack up in the AFC. And, you know, for as good as the Bengals were last year making it to the Super Bowl, they did it with a swinging gate of an offensive line, and they've improved that O-line over the season. I mean, you could potentially, you know, see that game in week 17 between Bills and Bengals end up being the AFC championship game then.
Well, you're forgetting about the week before. You could have a possible Super Bowl matchup between the Bills and Bears on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
But the Bengals-Bills game is really exciting. My dad and I went to a Bills-Bengals game a few years ago, and it was the first year they moved the kickers back, and it was it was Dan Carpenter versus Mike Nugent, one of the worst kicking games I've ever watched. And the Bills won, which shouldn't be surprising. But we have a friend that lives in Cincinnati, so I think we're going to try and get tickets to that game. So I'm really excited for that one. I love Joe Burrow. I have nothing bad to say about him or Jamar Chase or really anything about the Bengals. I have no issue with the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm ready for that game. I'm nervous about the game because I know Joe Burrow and Chase and Boyd and Higgins and Jesse Bates, even on defense, they're edge rushers. Their run defense is really good. Like, I'm excited for that. It's just odd that they had to start the season with the Super Bowl champs and the second to last game of the year is the guys that came runners up. So it's just perfect how it all set up.
Logan, great stuff today, man. Enjoy your weekend. I got to run.
Yes, sir. You too.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The wait is over. The entire 2022 NFL season schedule has finally been revealed, and the season kicks off with a matchup between two teams who could also end the season together in the Super Bowl. The defending champion Rams will host the Bills on Thursday, September 8th in the first game of 2022. Week one ends on Monday night with Russell Wilson's return home. The new Broncos quarterback will face the Seahawks in his first game ever as a visitor in Seattle. Week four features a rematch of Super Bowl 55 as Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs visit Tom Brady's Bucks. You can also celebrate Christmas with TV 12. The Bucks visit Arizona to cap off a December 25th triple header, which also includes the Dolphins and Packers and Broncos taking on the Rams. And the AFC champion Bengals were rewarded for their success with five primetime games, including a Monday night Week 8 matchup on Halloween against the rival Browns. For all 17 games from every team, make sure to check out NFL.com. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Why go to a monument company? Blackhawk Memorial helps you preserve your cherished memories. Their showroom includes upright memorials, ground-level markers, vases, and more, all made in Northeast Iowa. All work and quality control is done in-house. See what you buy before making a purchase at Blackhawk Memorial Showroom at 5325 University Avenue in Cedar Falls or call 319-266-0282. Blackhawk Memorial, where quality prevails.
A sudden and devastating storm known as derecho tore through parts of Iowa last week.
Events like a derecho aren't an everyday occurrence, but at Farm Bureau Financial Services, helping you protect what matters most is. That's why when things go wrong, you need your insurance to go right, and making sure you have the right coverage is only the beginning. If the unexpected happens and you have a claim, Farm Bureau will help you get back on your feet as quickly as possible. Contact me, Bo Jorgensen, your Farm Bureau agent in the Cedar Valley, to learn more about Farm Bureau's commitment to protecting you and what matters most.
What are people saying about Western Home Communities?
We've always had a really good communication with everybody at Western Home. We've never had a problem being concerned about her care at all.
Everybody worries right up front. Are you doing the right thing? Are they going to be taken care of the way that you want them to be taken care of? Throughout this whole COVID mess, we've always been kept up to date. Whether somebody tests positive, what steps are being done. If something is changed in her medication or her daily routine, we're always notified.
Contact Western Home Communities today at 277-2141.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Last night, the NFL schedule was officially released. That led to a lot of talk about teams' strength of schedule. But the problem with grading out each team's schedule is we use last year's results as our data. The NFL is much different than any other sport. Each year, we see about a 50% turnover rate on teams that make the postseason. Take the Browns and Bengals as an example. Browns made it all the way to the AFC title game in 2020. Team failed to make the playoffs last year. The Bengals, opposite. Cincinnati had a top 10 pick, made it all the way to the Super Bowl. So although it may be fun to talk about which teams have the hardest path to the postseason, using teams' records from the previous season probably isn't the best process because between injuries, the draft, free agency, every roster will look drastically different than it did the year before. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
Financial advisors, remember when your job was fun? I'm Ron Kruszewski, CEO of Stifel. And at our firm, it still is fun. Here, you'll find the culture and values of the past, along with the technology and vision of the future. Stifel's a firm built by advisors for advisors, a place where you can better serve your clients and have some fun again in our business. Visit ChooseStifel.com to learn more about the investment firm you've been waiting for.
When it comes to building wealth, knowing where you stand is half the battle. That's why we've created Stifel Wealth Tracker. Stifel Wealth Tracker lets you build your personal balance sheet and track your net worth over time. You can securely link your financial accounts using bank-level encryption and even connect with a Stifel financial advisor if you need professional guidance regarding your situation. Download Stifel Wealth Tracker on the App Store, Google Play, or by going to stifel.com/tracker. That's STIFEL.com/tracker.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app.
Welcome back for a final time on this Friday. Great week. My thanks go out to Waterloo Columbus softball coach Chris Olmstead and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast for joining today's show. Coming up, Cubs baseball pregame begins at 8:05. Cubs continue their West Coast swing, begin a three-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. First pitch at 8:40. Make sure and visit the broadcast calendar at 1650thefan.com so you know when every Cubs game is going to be on. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back Monday at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.